by working. Now challenge each other.
He won. I'll fight for you.
One, two, three.
Hey, he drunk. Let's go.
They play the maze, baby. Let's get him.
Come on, push the maze out. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro here live from the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. And what you see here, people, is this. I am turning the page. See that? Turning the page. I know it's hard to do, but Thursday there is a football game. Eagles going out to Seattle. It is a short week. And internally, anyway, the focus is on, obviously, the Seattle Seahawks and a game Thursday night. Giants lose last night. This NFC East continues to stumble over itself, trying to find out a winner. Dallas Cowboys in the driver's seat in the division. Is there still just a sliver of hope for the Eagles? Well, we'll find out. Question marks, yeah. Eagles have some injuries, no doubt about it. Andy Reid will address those injuries at 11:45. Michael Vick, Jeremy Maclin, neither practiced on Thursday. Also, Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie missing practice, as well as King Dunlap. Tune in Eagles Nightly tonight, 7 o'clock. We've got more for you there. I know how you feel. We want to get your phone calls. We want to get your predictions. We want to talk Eagles. And let me know what Thursday night's game means to you as this team kind of tries to find itself in game number 12 of this 2011 NFL season. Let's go to the telephones. Let's talk to Vince. Hello, Vince.
Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Vince, we have a rule, do we not?
Yes, we do.
And the rule, and what is the rule when you're dealing with Psycho Dave after a loss?
Don't ask him how he's doing.
Right.
Broke the rule, Dave. I'm right. Not doing well either.
So. But we love you for calling, Vince.
Hey, just want to say this. You asked, wanted to know what these games mean to us, specifically Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I think for me, a fan now spanning four decades, almost five decades, actually.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I would say that for me, this game basically is a chance for a diehard Eagles fan to take a look and see what guys really want to be here. I think that without the benefit of having game tapes, we can't see every single play, every nuance. But we do get a chance to see which guys have maturity, which guys have character, and who are the guys that are here that want to be here next year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, when I hear some of that, what rings to mind is, well, where was the character? Where was the maturity? You know, where was it the first 11 games? But that said, You are going to have times in the NFL when players are just not going to want to play football. And when there's somebody who just doesn't want to play football, I guess I don't kind of want that player on my team.
And, exactly.
And if it's ever going to show up, it'll show up on Thursday night. I mean, I can't tell you how wonderful this job is. For being in the NFL, it's wonderful, and everybody loves it, okay? But for this week, it's a tough grind. The players' bodies are beaten up. After the game on Sunday, they get no days off this week. They come in yesterday. They come in today. On the flight tomorrow, it's a long flight out to Seattle, and you're playing Thursday night. And that's just about the time when your body's starting to heal. So it is a difficult grind. And when you're 4-7, I guarantee you that there are going to be some players who just don't show up mentally for this game. It happens every.
Well, I have to say, as a fan, this perhaps this last game has probably been one of the most embarrassing games as a fan that I can remember. And we've taken some beat downs at different points. I can recall a couple of seasons back when McNabb's final game against the Cowboys, that was an embarrassing game. But I say the reason this one seems so embarrassing to me is I cannot recall a game where it seemed as though we had quite a few players that were going through the motions, And then to cap it all off, I do not recall a time when this team, from a personnel standpoint on the coaching side, I can't recall under Andy Reid, where we've had obvious bickering going on the sidelines amongst coaches.
Yeah, I don't think that...
The last time I can recall, that was Buddy Ryan, you know, the famous Buddy Ryan right cross.
Right, to Kevin Gilbride. Let's first talk about your first point. I don't think that there were players who were not giving their all. I didn't see that. I mean, DeSean Jackson dropped a couple of passes, three passes, short-armed. Maybe you could argue that one. I mean, I don't know what's going through his head over the middle.
That's what I'm pointing at, Dave, and maybe I shouldn't single him out. He had a horrible game. It just seems like he's had an off year, and it happens to coincide when there's been some public comment from him about his contract situation. And for those of us that work for a living and we're happy just to have a job in this economic turmoil that we're living through, making, you know, peanuts compared to these guys, it doesn't sit well with most.
I think – and I can't speak for DeSean. I mean, I certainly try to evaluate him, as we all do. I think he's really an enormously talented kid who has played through injuries in the past, and I don't question his love for the game. I think he's really emotional, and Andy Reid talked about it last week. And sometimes those emotions help him play better, and sometimes those emotions have him lose his focus.
Dave, you've been around the locker room. Can you give us a sense as to, I mean, you've spoken in many articles about there seems to be no leadership, there needs to be more leadership. And I read into that two sides of it. Then, yes, one, we need to have some players step up and become leaders, but there's another side of that that maybe I'm reading too much into. What I sense is when we see articles coming out, and it's not just one or two, it's been several, mm-hmm. where this has been a topic of discussion. It lends me to believe that perhaps we have some infighting or you know, some guys just not meshing well.
Well,
and we need to have some guys step up and bring this locker room together. And maybe I'm wrong for assuming that.
No, I agree.
When we see a team dissolve like this, that's what we believe.
I mean, Colin Jenkins has tried. Jason Avant has tried. I don't know if I can pinpoint exactly. The mix isn't there. And look, a lot of that is... Perhaps the mix would have developed better if the Eagles were 7-4 here, eight and three. If they hadn't blown some of those early games, I don't sense there's any infighting. I genuinely think the guys like each other. They just haven't really asserted themselves. They just haven't gotten on any sort of momentum, and I think they're frustrated by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're confused by it. I think they're perplexed. So it's not a. I also think this. I think. They understand in the locker room that infighting is the worst that can happen, because I can't point a finger at that guy and say, you're the reason we're 4-7. And then that guy can't point over there. You got to look right in the mirror. The reason the Eagles are 4-7 is everyone, every coach, every front office member, every player, everybody who has an impact, wins and losses, it you share it. So there's really no infighting that way, because I think everybody's sitting here going, okay, this did not work. The next step is, first of all, for the players and the coaches, they got to focus on the game. I mean, there are jobs on the line here. But the rest of, you know, if you're building the team, why didn't this work? You're still evaluating what you have, but what steps did we take along the way here? What did we do with the coaching staff that was good or not good? Let's evaluate that. What did we do in the draft that was good or not good? Let's evaluate that. Free agency. Did we sign too many people? Did we sign the wrong people? Did we mess up the chemistry in the locker room? In a shortened season prep time, was it the unwise thing to do? It certainly looks like it from our standpoint, but you know, you have to evaluate it more deeply than that. I don't sense that there's infighting. I just sense that with this team, there wasn't a hierarchy of leadership. And, you know, you look at a guy like Asante Samuel, who should have been a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
he got his feelings
hurt. His preseason focus was on his feelings getting hurt for whatever reason. Now, let me, if his feelings were, I don't understand why feelings would have been hurt. He's still getting paid a ton of money.
That's right.
He's still a starting cornerback. Nobody's moved him. Nobody's challenged his job. Well, I don't know where the feelings would be, but That's his issue. DeSean Jackson, same thing. So that stuff kind of adds up, you know.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you taking my call. You've got other callers to get
give me,
to.
Give me a prediction.
Steered away from asking anything to get Psycho Dave riled up, but I will have
thanks,
to just
man.
Throw this out there. Then I'll let you go.
Give me a prediction though, too.
I, as a fan, am at a point where, you know, and I'll ask you this: do you think Andy's safe for next year? Is kind of the first part of my question, and then I'll throw in my thoughts on that and leave you be. I do feel like at this point, as I've evaluated Andy Reid's tenure, especially if we look at how things have gone since 2004, I do feel a sense that it may be time for a change. I can certainly go back and look at how I felt about that in the past and say, well, I don't want to go back to the Kotite and Ray Rhodes eras, et cetera, et cetera. But I also think that as much as this front office has been bashed, if you take a look at prior owners, this has been an ownership that's been willing to spend money, more so than in ownership's past. This one's been willing to go out and spend money. So Andy Reid's been given, I think, more to work with, perhaps, than we've had with regimes in the past. And I think Andy Reid's a terrific person. If you read things about him, what little glimpses we can get, he seems like he's a good man. But I do believe that, you know, at this point, it just feels like there is necessary change, and perhaps maybe not Andy Reid going, but maybe we need to get a GM in here and take some of those duties off of his plate
and start
drafting better defensive players.
Vince, before I get into your answers, and we have a long show today, people, so I'll take, you know, give me a prediction for the game.
Oh, sorry. I still am going to stick with I'm predicting the Eagles to win every week, so I'm not going to break that streak.
Yeah.
Maybe I should and we'll win. I don't know, but I'm still going to pick the Eagles to win. I think this one's 24-17.
Okay, to answer your questions, thank you for the call. First of all, there is a GM here. His name is Howie Roseman, who runs the draft, okay? So that is off Andy Reid's plate. I'm sure it's a collaborative effort, and they have a very good relationship, but Howie is the general manager. And in that has power. I think Andy Reid's job is safe. I mean, there's still five games to play this season. If the Eagles win all five, I know it sounds absurd, but they win all five and somehow sneak in the playoffs, who knows what happens. If they continue to lose every week big, I mean, then we would talk about it later, but... Does Andy Reid need to do a better job? Sure. Absolutely. Team hasn't won a playoff game in a few years here, since 2008. But I also look at the body of work. You know, 9 playoff trips, 5 trips to the NFC Championship game. And I understand that since 2004, it's been some hit or miss seasons. But by and large, if you put the Eagles playoff formula together, it's very, very, very favorable to what this league has seen. No Super Bowl, understood. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's made mistakes. I think he would acknowledge that. And you're judged by your wins and your losses. But that's my guess. I don't have any inside information on that. It is a decision that needs to be made by Jeffrey Lurie. He's the owner of the team. Joe Banner, he's the president of the team. They both have an excellent relationship with Andy Reid. However, the goal here is to win Super Bowls too. So it's not like anybody's sitting here going, we're just going to chalk this season up. This is as frustrating to us as it is to you. It's as perplexing to us as it is to you. It's as maddening to us, if not more, than it is to you. Because everybody here is so committed to winning. And the Eagles will fix this. This organization is proven. From Ray Rhodes, you know, actually from Rich Kotite to Andy, to Ray Rhodes to Andy, they win games. They get to the playoffs. You got to win the Super Bowl. But they will find the formula for that. So I would prefer not answering questions about, is this guy safe? Because it's me guessing, and then I say something, and then... But I'm certainly a huge Andy Reid fan, and hope that he's here for a very long time. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, we will be joined by the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese. He's going to have a short week to get those pipes ready, so I'm going to have him speak in a whisper, so he doesn't strain the vocal cords before Thursday night in Seattle. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome in. Dave Spadaro here. We bring in Merrill Reese to our Xfinity studio on a very short week. We talk about the players feeling the pain of getting over the bruises. Merrill, you need your voice to get some rest and relaxation.
My voice is fine. My voice is fine. That's not the problem. The problem is just enduring this great disappointment. It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely, you think, well, you're professional. You've been through this before. But all of us, like all of you, invest so much in this season emotionally. And with five games to go and you see the team basically, realistically, out of the playoffs, it's just such a crushing blow.
Especially when the NFC East is clearly not a very strong division. You know,
how about the NFC?
Well, the Packers and the Saints.
And I'm not sure the Saints are as good as they looked last night. And at the same time, maybe the Giants are not as good as we thought they were when the Eagles crushed them.
Yeah. Merrill, I guess the approach that the coaches and the players take, what do they hope to accomplish here in the last 5 weeks of the season?
You have to be professional. You have to play each game as if it means everything. That's the professional approach. I mean, you know that unless A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H happen, there's not going to be a playoff involvement for this team this year. But there are five games, and each player has to play each game as if his career is on the line. That's what you have to do.
Vince Young has had two starts here, really inconsistent in some of his throws. You look up, he's 400 yards passing, but I didn't get the sense that he was quite as sharp as he needed to be.
I think that's the understatement. We saw a repeat of the pass that Prince Amukamara picked off against the Giants down the far sideline intended for DeSean Jackson. He was out there. It was woefully underthrown. He was off target.
Is he just getting used to his speed because the Riley Cooper ball was right on target?
Well, that was. But I think you used the word inconsistent. And I like Vince Young. And I think that Vince Young is a talented quarterback. But he is not back in a groove. He had that great, great stretch against the Giants. The 18-play drive was absolutely magical, but just too many balls were off the mark. Just too many.
Merrill, if I look at this team and I say, you know, what, How can I explain 4-7? When it went through this on Monday a little bit, I would point to a couple of statistics, and you can point to many, but I would point to a couple of statistics. The giveaway takeaway, the turnover ratio.
Well, that's the biggest thing. -9.
Yeah, and how do you get that better? Is it a focus thing? Is it an execute? In the big picture here, how do you get that better?
You don't make mistakes. You don't make mistakes. And I know the coaches work on this
every
day.
I know that. Okay.
But it's a mess. I can't remember the last time an Eagles team was -9. I mean, even Seattle. If you look at the Seattle Seahawks and the Eagles, statistically, they're not even close. Eagles are way superior to Seattle. If you look at their rosters, they're not even close. And yet, they both have identical 4-7 records. In that turnover category, Seattle is even. Mm-hmm. That's not great. They're even. They've given it away the same amount of times that they've taken it away, but yet they are even. The Eagles are -9, and therein lies the story. Although Seattle pulled an Eagles move on Sunday, letting the Washington Redskins, who are an awful team, come from 10 points behind and beat them at the end of that game.
What are your impressions of the Seahawks here?
They're not a good team.
Yeah.
And
no Sidney Rice.
No Sidney Rice, and he's probably their best receiver, if not their best player. And Tavares Jackson has never impressed me as an exceptional quarterback. To me, Tavares Jackson should be somebody's backup. He can run a little. He's got a strong, inaccurate arm. He's not a great quarterback. He can get hot. He can run. He can do some things. But he should not be the starting quarterback for a good team.
And then, Merrill, the other statistics that jump out to me anyway, the red zone offense, red zone defense, 24th offensively, 32nd in the league defensively. Same old song defensively. I mean, it's 2 years in a row here, last in the league in red zone defense. Why is this team struggling so much? Are they not physical enough? Is it the scheme? Is it the players? And we were only talking about a couple of stops here and there.
Dave, I'm going to be honest with you. To my eyes, they look confused. When you have a guy like Wes Welker, who you know is a premier receiver for the New England Patriots, when you have a guy like Wes Welker wide open, I mean, nobody within 10 yards of him repeatedly, just dancing by his lonesome over the middle, something is wrong. And then Brady, who is wonderful, Brady went downfield once for Tyquan Underwood,
mm-hmm.
who was
a
wide late
open,
pick,
right.
wide
and
open,
dropped it, right.
and just dropped it. All right, ho-hum. Next play, he goes downfield, same pattern, Deion Branch, wide open, touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, and I think we really, I don't know, I did appreciate Jim Johnson when he was here.
Oh, it's very I difficult appreciated to replace Jim somebody Johnson like every day.
The experience that you bring to that position has made a whole lot of difference. And the lack of experience with Sean McDermott and then with Jim is with Juan has it's been tough for the Eagles to get on the same page defensively.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You can look at this team and say they didn't have an off season. There were no OTAs. They made a lot of changes, but 31 other teams played by those same rules. And 18 of those 31 teams have more than 4 wins. So they're And I don't think Andy makes any excuses. I don't think he stands up there at the podium and say, here's why we're struggling. No, he doesn't give you much. He'll give you the I've got to do a better job. But he doesn't excuse the performance of this team this year. This team has just played poorly.
And yet I don't think they're in the looking ahead, big you know, year ahead, I don't think they're that far away from being a really good team. I think there's a young group on this roster. A core, the offensive line is young and good. LeSean McCoy is just getting into his prime here. You know, Michael Vick has to stay healthy, which is a big issue. The receivers, DeSean Jackson, we'll find out what happens with him after the season. There are pieces on the defense that I like, not the whole defensive personnel grouping. I don't think they're that far away.
Dave, from a personnel standpoint, from a strict personnel standpoint, they're good enough to be a playoff team this year. If they had beaten
they were
San Francisco.
Team playoff team last year, yeah.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. If we look at that team last year that should have beaten Minnesota, that to me was the low point when they lost to Minnesota, but should have beaten Minnesota on the game that was postponed and became Tuesday Night Football, that would have given them home field advantage, mm-hmm. which they lost. Ultimately, they lost to the team that won the Super Bowl, the best team in football, the Green Bay Packers. And that Eagles team had added to it Nnamdi Asamoah, who was considered the best or the second best corner in the entire National Football League. They added Pro Bowl players. They added Colin Jenkins, who I think has turned out to be a very, very good player. They added depth at the quarterback position, depth at the running back position. I mean, they made some very, very positive moves, and they're a disaster.
Well, Merrill, thank you very much for the uplifting message.
I don't mean to bury this team, because I love this team as much as you love this team and as much as all of you love this team, but it's a difficult season. It's a difficult season to stay here and to sit here and point fingers. I am agreeing with you when you say that this team's future isn't that dim because they have the ability to become a very good team. I vote yes. They do have the ability. The problem is, Dave, when they won in Washington, I thought they had it. And then they backed that after the bye with a terrific win over the Dallas Cowboys. And then they lost to the Bears. All right, the Bears are a good team, but it was a competitive game. To me, the worst defeat of the entire season was not this one. Hey, this was a train wreck. But the worst defeat of the entire season was losing to a bad Arizona team and John Skelton. How did they let that happen? That's where the season was lost. That and not holding on to a 23-3 lead against a San Francisco team at that point. That team didn't know it was good. And the Eagles let that lead slip away to Alex Smith.
Would you like the Eagles to get Brandon Graham, Jaquan Jarrett, Curtis Marsh, etc. on the field here in the last 5 weeks of the season?
Not yet. Not yet. If I am the head coach, I play this thing out until they are mathematically eliminated, and which they're not yet. I'm not saying that I expect them to go to the playoffs because realistically that doesn't seem to be in order. However, stranger things have happened. So I play the best, most experienced players I can until the mathematics say that they've been eliminated.
Okay.
I still think they can catch the Giants, and I was speaking with Derek Boyko over in the PR office, and he said they have to hope that they go into Dallas on Christmas Eve day trailing by 2 games. If they can get it to 2 games behind the Cowboys on Christmas Eve day and beat the Cowboys, which they did here, not saying it's going to be easy, it's going to be tough, then the Cowboys have a finale against the Giants. Not that the Giants are any great shakes. I mean, one moment I'm saying yes, and then I'm saying but. You go up and you go down, you go up, you go down. But the truth of the matter is, that's how you have to play it. You have to play it to the hilt until you are out of your last breath. Do you agree?
I agree. I would like to see Brandon Graham on the field, but clearly he's not earning his playing time. I mean, he's not showing in practice, or else he'd be up. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like the defensive ends are coming in here and it's sack, 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 sack. I mean, the defensive ends have tailed off in their production.
Mm-hmm.
And teams are getting rid of the football more quickly, and so.
What were there, 10 penalties the other night?
10 penalties.
10 penalties.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
Yeah.
Seattle had 9 penalties.
Yeah.
So collectively, these guys, there's going to be a lot of hankies thrown.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope the Eagles go out and play a great football game, and we get back at 7:30 in the morning landing in Philadelphia on Friday.
Well, feeling good. It would be a lot better taking that trip back if this team wins.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And then they have a long rest before they go to sunny Florida.
Yeah.
So
your little bye weekend coming up.
That's what it is.
Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, we thank you for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community.
For more information on the program, please visit the community relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey, Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham, and you're watching Eagles Live.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
What has transpired here in the attitude in this locker room right now?
It's kind of early in the week. You know, we're just getting back together today. You know, everybody was kind of down yesterday, I mean, obviously. But we just got to, find a way just to kind of maintain just. And play ball and finish the season out, you know, and things have happened, you know, so just got to stay positive, you know. One thing we can do is control, you know, what we can control. That's just win games, you know, if things work out for us. So got to keep a positive mindset.
How is it that the leading rusher in the NFL barely gets 10, 14, 15 touches a game?
I think this is kind of the situation of the game. I mean, getting down, you know, we were up 10 and then they kind of got the lead. So we kind of forced to throw the ball. But, I mean, I don't think it's really the runs or passes. It's a matter of executing. You know, if you don't execute, if you don't run or pass, you don't win. You know, and you don't put points up. You know, so that's kind of what happened. I mean, we threw the ball well. We threw for over 400 yards. So I don't think moving the ball was an issue. Just executing. We didn't do that enough.
Was Michael Vick or Mack went out there today with you?
I mean, you'll find that out. You know, I can't talk about other people's injuries or whatever.
You heard the fans in the game calling for Andrew to be fired.
I didn't hear that. I didn't even hear it.
No. Plus, you know, you look at the front page of the paper, you hear Sports Talk Radio. Do you think that that's
fair? I didn't see the front of the paper. I didn't.
Do you think it's fair that they've taken the heat?
I think so. It's not fair at all because, you know, as players, you know, we got to do all the plan. I mean, coach could only push him right. Situation, the right opportunity to make plays. And as players, you got to go out there and make the plays. So when guys are missing blocks and you know, not hitting the holes, things like that, you know, missed coverages or whatever it is, fumbles. I mean, why should Andy Reid have to suffer for that? You know, that's not his fault. He's putting us in the right situation. We just got to make the plays.
What's the challenge of having to go back out there 4 days from yesterday after playing another game?
That's tough. Kind of get that loss out your system. You know, it's a whole new week. You got to prepare up, you know, and get ready to roll Thursday. So it's a little different, but something we have to do. I think if we have any shot of kind of making something out of our season, you know, we just got to put that stuff in the past, man, and look for it.
Has the energy in this locker room been sapped considering what has happened through 11 games?
I don't think so. I think guys are still kind of sticking together, encouraging one another. You know, trying to do better. You know, because you want to dwell on the past. I mean, there's no good out of that. There's no good out of nitpicking, pointing fingers. You don't get anything out of it. You know, so the only thing you got to do is just move forward. And like I said, if you want to, you know, make some of our season, we got to win games, you know, and put them the past losses, you know, aside.
What kind of impact does it have on the team internally? Camaraderie, just as a team inside here, when you have two coaches getting an argument on the sideline?
I mean, that's a tough situation, man, because that should never happen. I mean, coaches or players, you know, we're in this thing together. You know, but, you know, I guess, you know, things happen. In a competitive sport like this, You know, everything's always, you know, a team thing first, but you might have disagreements. You know, guys might feel it a certain type of way. But you work it out. You work it out. You get past it and you get through it.
Well, does it worry you about a long time? Gotta go.
And Andy Reid will be along here in just a few moments to meet the media, give us an update, injuries, et cetera, et cetera. So Eagles will quickly turn around this team, getting ready for Seattle on Thursday. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here. Let's go to Javon in New York joins us. Hi, Javon.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, are you turning the page on the game or on the season?
I'm turning the page on my focus and trying to get ready for the Seahawks.
What is the moral victory for you for this season?
There is no moral victory.
Okay. So, I mean, so I feel like I'm going to be an Eagles fan. So I'm going to watch all these games coming up. I definitely want to see something at the team.
Yeah.
But at this point, conversation-wise, I'm trying to see what's going to happen next year.
It's just hard for me to tell you with any sort of intelligence what's going to happen next year. I have no idea. Yeah.
I mean, but as fans, I definitely have a wish list, you know.
What's that wish list?
I do want to see Castillo. I don't want him to get fired, as in get him off the team. I think he's been on the team for. I think he's a hard worker. He's definitely a good teacher. I'm hearing he's putting 20 hours a day in. But the defensive coordinator spot should definitely be given to somebody that has the experience with him. To also help in the defense, I definitely would like to give him a position coach, or at least an assistant coordinator position.
Okay.
Where we could bring in somebody, a defensive coordinator, to lead him, and he could grow into it, and maybe somewhere down the line, he could start getting the reins back, but I definitely think that we need to get a real defensive coordinator there.
Okay.
Other than that, I do want to see Asante out of here, and it's not because of what he's done, it's more about where our defense is moving to. I definitely would like to see a trade for couple draft picks here and there for Asante. I think that we put DRC on the right, on the left spot where he's known to be all his career, and Nnamdi on the right spot. They could both press, they could both play press, they could both play man, and that gives us more flexibility in the defense to do what we want to do.
You're basically just saying you want to overhaul the defense.
Yeah, I definitely think, and also, to be honest, I wouldn't mind changing offensive coordinator. I want to keep Reed. I think Reed has given us a lot of good years. To be honest, even if we don't lose a game for the rest of the season, I still wouldn't fire Reed. I know a lot of Philly fans are going crazy with that, but I think Reed should stay. He's the one that's putting this team together. I think we should give him one more solid year, see if he could turn it around, and I think he can. But as in both our coordinators, I think we need new positions there. I think we need any new play calling. I think we just need to revamp that way. And certain position players, I wouldn't mind letting go. We don't need Ronnie Brown. We don't need Steve Smith. They're just taking up salary cap room. I like Vince Young, but we're not going to be able to keep him, you know. But, yeah, we definitely need a revamping of defense and possibly a change on offensive coordinator.
Well, thank you very much, Javon. Do you have a prediction for the game?
We should win this game, 27-14.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. And listen, I realize that a lot of my role here is to listen to what you guys have to say, and I'm fine with that. I'm not going to go through the roster and go through the coaching staff, and there's 5 games to go in this regular season. And as Merrill said, you approach it game by game very professionally until the team is mathematically eliminated. I'm not getting my hopes up for the playoffs, don't get me wrong. The focus is to beat the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, I've also learned that in 5 games, a lot of things can change. Injuries, performance, somebody emerges, somebody declines. So talking about the roster, just we have so much time in the offseason to do that. We still have shows and still have interviews and do all that. So, but I'm certainly willing and interested to hearing what you guys have to say. Chris in New York. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dr. Dave.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Good morning. What the hell do you want?
I can't say what I want to say, but... Yeah.
What the hell do you want?
What's that?
What the hell do you want?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can he not hear me?
I can now. I can hear you. Hello.
Okay. Yes, you're here. Talk.
Sorry about that. I couldn't hear you there for a minute.
No problem.
I'm calling up, basically back trailing what the caller said. If you look at the Texans, we're 8-3, top of the AFC right now, right? They didn't retool their roster. All they did was bring in Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, there are different ways to build. The 49ers, they kept the same quarterback, but they changed the head coach. I mean, there's different ways to make this thing work, and the Eagles have to figure out the right way to make it work.
Yeah, and all this talk about the rushing and give him more touches, it's really not giving him more touches. To me, it's just they're abandoning the run. In the fourth quarter, when the Eagles are down by 6-7, they need a touchdown, they're just going to pass it. And all the teams know that, and they're sitting on that, and that's what's killing them.
I would say this. Here's my thing about the run game. Where I would like to see the run game utilized more is in the red zone, because when you examine what has happened with this offense and this team, one of the things you point to is excessive red zone turnovers. And those excessive red zone turnovers, by and large, except, you know, Atlanta, I think the Rams had a fumble in the red zone I guess it was a pass, actually. But I think if you ran a little bit more in the red zone, you would have fewer turnovers in the red zone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%, I think.
But the whole LeSean McCoy get more touches things, I mean, you know, he gets as many touches as anybody else in the league.
I just think in a red zone, they're trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, it's really not many plays you do yet. You run straight at him, do a little play action, and you look for your tight end. Or you know, throw a fade into the corner with the wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the red zone's been an issue for the last several years. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they need to bring in a bruising fullback that's going to make a hole for Shady McCoy. That's what they've been lacking for all the years. You had that with Leonard Weaver.
Well, but they don't even use it. But
you had that.
Yeah, but they don't use the fullback.
Yeah, but they need to get a fullback behind the running back. Someone's got to make a hole for Shady. You can't just ask the lineman.
But how? You know, but
fullback's an ancient art nowadays in the NFL. But
is Owen Schmidt not good enough? I mean, he plays six.
You tell me he's.
He plays six snaps a game.
He's done nothing from what I see.
He plays six snaps a game.
He what?
He plays five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten snaps a game.
Yeah, what, snaps or catches?
Snaps. Plays. He's in on five or six plays.
Making catches. I don't.
I didn't say catches. I said plays. He is in on five or six plays a game from the line of scrimmage.
I don't see him really.
They don't
doing
use
anything.
Two back. They
I
don't. Don't
Weaver doing a lot.
They don't
I know
run.
He's a much better player, but.
But they don't run a two back sweep. They don't run the two back set.
I think they got it. I mean, when Shady had the ball versus the Patriots, every time he touched it, there was 10 Patriots on top.
I know.
All they were doing is Keno. He's almost turned into a weapon.
Listen, I mean, let me tell you something. Listen, if I'm playing defense against Vince Young and I see how inconsistent he is throwing the football, I'm just trying to take Shady McCoy away and I'm letting Vince Young try to beat me. I'm going to let him.
I agree, but maybe if you put Ronnie Brown and Deion Lewis in that same backfield, maybe you shoot McCoy to the right and then you shoot the running back to the left and you give him them at least. Think that Shady's not getting the ball.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We're grasping at straws here.
My big thing really is the defense sucks. And Castillo, I hate to say it, he sucks too.
Well, it hasn't played well. I mean, what do you want me to say? Let the results speak for themselves. The defense has been up and down for sure. They were so good against the Giants, and then so overmatched against the Patriots.
But I hate to say it. The Giants. I live here in New York. It's horrible right now. They have no running game.
They have no running.
Dan Jacobs can't run through anything right now.
Yeah, I know.
So almost that Eagles great defense. It doesn't even look as good as it does. A week later, when you actually look at the Giants,
I know. I watched the game last night, at least a little bit of it. I can only stand so much of the NFL right now. I'm so bummed. Give me a prediction, Chris, please. Pretty please.
Eagles 33, the Seahawks 28.
A game that will keep you on the edge of your seats.
Thank you for listening to my problems, Dave.
Anytime, Chris. Anytime.
All right. Have a good Eagles
day. You got it, man. Me too. You too. Me too. I'm here to listen to your problems. I get you. Guys, we've been doing this for many, many years together. And we're clearly disappointed with 4-7. So I know you're not going to call up here and say, hey, everything's fine. We're great. Because it's not the case. Nobody here feels that way either. We all are very, very disappointed. That's to name it at tune. Andy Reid coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get the injury updates as the team turns this thing around very quickly. Let's go to Corey in Pittsburgh as we take a look at the headlines. Hey, Corey.
Hi, Dave. How you been?
Are you really asking me that, Corey?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, in light of everything.
How have you been? I've been awful. How about that? How about I'm the biggest rear end after a loss that you can imagine? I hate it. How about that?
I'm miserable. Okay.
Sounds
about how I'm feeling as well, then. You know, yeah. I guess that was the wrong question to ask, but, you know.
That's the rule, Corey.
Ground, right?
The rule is just don't ask me that because then I get a little jittery. I can be a psycho. I mean, what can I tell you? I'm bipolar.
Well,
I'm proud of it too.
I mean, we're all upset, but you know, you just try to put a positive spin on it any way you can. You know,
I understand that. I do. And what's going on here? And the Eagles are going to play on Thursday, and I'm going to be excited about that game. But you know, Sunday wasn't pleasant.
No, Sunday wasn't good at all. I mean, started out pretty good, but. You know, I guess reality sat in, you know. I mean, it's just like that's just been the story of our season. It's, like you said, it's been an up-and-down season. And
too many downs.
I just think that, you know, we just need to just change our philosophy as far as, I'm not going to say getting rid of Andy Reid or anything like that is the answer, but just the coordination, definitely defensive coordinator. I mean, I know Juan Castillo is a great guy, and he's been beat up enough, you know, and but my thing is, how could you go out and spend this much money on the defense, you know, in the off season, upgrade positions, you know, go through the whole thing, and then hand it over to a guy who's unproven? I mean, never called a game on either side of the ball, you know. I mean, what was that about? And to me, I'm just thinking they had to see this coming. You know, how could you put that much trust in the guy who's never called the game? And like I said, if you're going for the golden egg, I mean, you're reaching for the Super Bowl, and you're going out making all these acquisitions, going out and you're doing all these things in the off season, then how can you just hand it over to an unproven coordinator?
That is the big question. Andy Reid obviously believed in what he heard from Juan and was convinced that hard work would overcome the lack of experience.
I have my friends too, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to give them, you know, my new Porsche.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do that, you know. But it's just, to me, there's just too much of this buddy system going on there. They like this guy. They think he could do this. They think he can do that, but. And you know, why they couldn't call Sean McDermott back or anything? Or, I mean, I didn't think he did a horrible job. You know, at least he knew how to call a game, I thought, you know. But I saw no reason to get rid of him. You know, if this is where you were going to go and you were going to go out and get all these pieces to fix the defense, I mean, get someone there who's at least called it, you know, a game for at least a couple seasons, you know. But. Yeah.
I hear you.
I don't know. I mean, who knows where to start? It's just there's blame on from the top.
There's blame
to the
everybody. There's blame on everybody.
You know, and,
everybody.
It just seems like to me that they why go out and do all, you know, the moves like I said that they made, and then you just want to hand it over to some.
Here,
guy.
Give me a prediction. Give me your prediction.
Prediction. Do I have to?
Okay. Nope. Thank you. Andy Reid is up next.
All right. Injuries. Namdi will be limited today. We'll just see how he does. He went through the walkthrough and felt pretty good. LeSean McCoy will be limited today. Well, again, he went through the walkthrough. He's got the sprained toe. King Dunlap will not practice. Moses will not practice. Jeremy Macklin will not practice.
and Michael will throw on the side, but will not officially go through the practice. And then Vince will take the reps with the ones, and then we'll play that day by day and see how things go the rest of today. Right, short week. So we look forward to the challenge of playing the Seahawks, good football team, and we'll get ourselves ready today. Really, today's a primary day of practice. We had a walkthrough yesterday, so today's a primary day. We'll cover all the different situations that you need to cover to go play a game, and then fly out there tomorrow and play the game on Thursday. Time's yours.
Is Michael Vick showing any progress? How much better is he now than he was?
He's getting he's making progress every day. He just right now he can't put the heavy torque on the ball, so without feeling some pain there. So I've just got to wait and see until that goes away. You know, we can't throw consistently there. So.
Andy, with the show of course, the turf toe.
No, it's not turf toe. No, it's just he's got some swelling in the toe, but it's not a turf toe.
Macklin at this point.
Macklin's hamstring more than his shoulder. It's a hamstring. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back is just.
There's a spot in there that is sore. I mean that's and it's tight, and we gotta get that out of there. So I don't want to take any steps back by throwing him out there in practice today and doing that.
Do you have to simplify a game plan in any way when you only have one practice between games?
No, what you try to do is you try to carry over as many plays as you possibly can, formations and plays from an offensive standpoint that you had the week before, and then add what you need to add. So I'm saying the plays that you didn't run the week before, and then add what you need to add from there. So, that's what you attempt to do there. Yep.
Did you speak to Jim Washburn or Marty about Sunday's situation, and is that resolved?
I did. I did. Now listen, I mean things happen. It's an emotional game. So, no matter if you're coaches or players, things happen. So, you take care of business, and like grown men, and they've talked, I've talked, and they've worked it out, and we're fine here.
Andy, can something like that where it happens, can that turn out to be a good thing down the line?
I'd like to tell you it was the first time it's happened. This isn't the first time guys get emotional on the sideline. It's that type of a game. Can it be a good thing? They worked it out. That's a good thing. So we'll see. See from there.
Was there a dispute about the play calling there?
That was reported. That's not the case. I'm not going to get into what it was, but that wasn't the case at all. It wasn't an offense versus defensive thing or anything like that. That's not what it was.
Are you concerned about Washburn and his demeanor on the sideline and this being a problem?
We're moving on, and that's what we're doing.
Andy, Nate Allen, his knee, is it still holding him back a little bit?
I don't think so. I think his knee feels pretty good. I think it's just a matter of continuing to play and listen. I presume you're talking about the play that he came up, he was trying to play aggressive and got caught. It happens to every safety in the National Football League. So, I appreciate him staying aggressive. He'll learn from that and get better at it. He's a smart guy, and he got caught on that one.
See, maybe more of Jaquan Jarrett in that role?
No, Nate will be Nate's a starter. Yeah.
You haven't often been in this situation late in the season. Do you have to say anything to the team about, the importance of not fragmenting or not giving up on the season?
Now, Les, I take every game as its own game, and I start the season that way, and that's the way I continue to do. And I've got a good locker room, good coaching staff. They're working hard, right? And they're getting themselves ready for the Seattle Seahawks. And so that's that's where we're at. Every season presents its issues, and you got to fight through it, right? So that's what we're doing.
Try to substitute a little more Sunday with Thursday in mind. Try to maybe rotate more guys in than you would normally.
Well, most of the guys. Well, you say that a lot of the guys had a chance to play, and some due to injury, and some due to the plays that we had called up. We tried to get as many people. It wasn't for the case of playing this week, however, though.
Andy, has Tavares Jackson grown as a quarterback since you faced him as a Viking?
Well, I think he has. I would tell you, any young quarterback, every year and every game that they can get under their belt, they have a chance to get better. And so, that's what he's done. He's a smart kid, very talented. He's got a nice arm. He can throw the ball.
How frustrating has your record coming into this year after losses was unbelievable. You guys have never lost two games in a row, very rarely. It seems like this year, whenever you've had a good game, it's been followed by one of your team's worst games. And how frustrating is that lack of consistency? You haven't been able to put that string of good games together.
Well, listen, that's one of the things we all need to work on, right? So we as coaches and players, we've got to get better at that. And I'm telling you, it starts with me. I've got to do my part, and everybody else has to do their part, and then you don't run into that situation.
Several weeks now, I think, for him. Is there any concern that there's something more serious or any kind of long-term ramifications for him?
Well, we're keeping a close eye on it. So you don't like seeing this to the extent that he's, as far as time, that he's had this for a player. But with the information we have, he should recover fully and be okay. But I can't tell you. You like seeing that for the situation he has.
And Trevor Lawrence made a comment yesterday. He said, looking at the film of Seattle, we should blow this team out. Does that bother you when one of your players says something like that, considering just, you're sitting here 4-7, coming off a tough loss?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't see that he said that. We've got to go out there, a good football team. We've got to go out and play good football.
Does that bother you if one of your guys says something like that?
Well, I haven't read that, so I'm not gonna comment on it. I'll see what was done there.
And Deshaun said after the game that he kind of worries about his health when he's out there, plays with his head on a swivel. Is that something you feel the need to maybe talk to him about, or does that send the wrong message to his teammates given some of the drops, the way they happened on Sunday?
Well, he needs to just continue to move forward off of the last game. He mentioned it to you, and have a good game this week, and that's what he's going to work on doing.
Does he start this week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there goes Andy Reid, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, this is Friday in preparation time, getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday night. So here's your updates. Andy Reid says Michael Vick making progress every day. He'll throw today but won't practice. So I would say it's unlikely that Michael Vick will play against the Seahawks. LeSean McCoy and Nnamdi Asamoah will be limited to practice today. They did go through the walkthrough. Look for them to play on Thursday. Jeremy Maclin not going to be part of this thing, I don't think, on Thursday. And the team travels to Seattle tomorrow. Game is Thursday night. Now, it's on the NFL Network nationally. Locally, it's on PHL 17 game time, 8:20. Let's get a quick phone call in from Ray in Kentucky. Hello, Ray.
What's up, Psycho Dave?
Hi, Psycho Ray. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been listening, and I think we got the defense to beat anybody.
You think the Eagles' defense can't beat anybody?
Giants, Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't want to say nobody. I think we got enough personnel there to get it together and beat anybody in the league.
Yeah, but we've been talking about this all year. It's been so wildly inconsistent. I I don't look at it and say, okay, it's time to win five games in a row. You can't. How can you possibly do that? They've won. Their longest winning streak this year is two games.
I'm not really mad at this week because I was kind of really upset when we lost against the 49ers because I was expecting us to be up there with the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers. So I'm not really kind of down this week because my expectations were a little bit higher, than I guess, than everybody else's. But I believe that we're a team that we can beat anybody in the league.
Yeah, I think so too. However, the Eagles are 4-7. So listen, it would be a wonderful Christmas present for me to go to win these three games, go to Dallas on Christmas Eve, two games behind the Cowboys, beat the Cowboys, go into the last game of the regular season knowing that if the Giants beat the Cowboys and the Eagles beat the Redskins, the Eagles win the division. But that's a wish. I'm not going to look 3 weeks down the line. You can't do that with this football team. They have shown no consistency.
I mean, that's what I like. We still got hope. Yeah. We still may be able to get in the playoffs.
Ray, I love the optimism, man. Thank you.
And my prediction this week, I have to agree with Travis Rawls. I believe we're going to blow out the Seahawks. I'm saying 31-0.
31-0. Ray is on the record. Thank you so much, Ray, from Kentucky. 31-0. We take a little break. When we come back, Adam Kaplan, our NFL analyst, joins us in our Xfinity studio. We're coming right back.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Dave Spadaro with you, joined by our NFL reporter Adam Kaplan in our Xfinity studio. We're talking Eagles, Seahawks. We're talking NFC East. Nobody wants to win this division, Adam.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, what we thought would happen this season really has not taken place. Up and down, topsy-turvy. You know, I threw this on Twitter last night. Should we crown the Cowboys champions? And people are like, no, don't do that yet. They, you know, they have to play twice the Giants and Cowboys. So,
and it's Tampa Bay, which I somehow think will be a tough game.
Sure. Tampa
Philadelphia,
Bay is another one,
by the way.
Right. Yeah. And the Eagles, hey, listen, the Eagles already beat Dallas and actually beat them decidedly. So you never really know. This NFC East has been never a dull moment.
If you could pinpoint two or three things for this Philadelphia Eagles team that just have not gone according to plan, just two or three. You could probably list 10 and things, and then kind of, you know, correct them for me.
The inconsistency of the defense, not really knowing what you're going to get. You see the brilliance against Dallas. I mean, what a game plan they had, and they completely shut them down. I mean, in a league where you don't usually see blowouts, they dominated that football team. Then you have a game like last week against New England. What happened to the defense? Not knowing what you're going to get, I understand all the changes and you know, and how young they are, but at what point, Dave, are the excuses out the window and trying to figure out why they can't be consistent? I don't understand it. I really don't understand it from
a week
to week.
Okay, that's one.
Then you have to break it down looking at it. Why the problems in the secondary from week to week? When we look at number one, and then you go 1A, why the problems with the secondary? We see Nate Allen, who's pretty much had a very good year. What happened last week? Why the problems? Why the lack of communication, the breakdowns in the secondary? That's another thing.
How much do you think Namdi's injury late in the week affected the communication, the comfort level with everyone in the secondary?
I think it was very clear from watching that game, being there at the game, then watching it, the tape at home. I don't think there's any question about it, because Hosilio Hansen was not just a slot corner. He was trying to take Asamoah's role, which is kind of a rover, kind of in the middle of the field, kind of surveying and then blitzing and doing whatever. Everything they tried didn't work. They were late in coverage. Just when you thought they had the tight ends covered, Deion Branch goes wild. Wes Welker goes wild. Absolute undisciplined play from the secondary, and I think it's fair to bring that up. I think the communication and the timing of the secondary was really poor in that game.
What about the offense, Adam?
I would say the offense has been fairly decent this season. I think the quarterback play has been the disappointment with Vic. Being very up and down, you see really good games, and then you see him hold on to the ball too long, turn the ball over. And then the other part, when you ask me what are three things, this is a general statement. The mental errors from both sides of the football, the bad penalties, the bad mistakes. We saw Juque Parker, a veteran, going off sides at a critical juncture against Buffalo, which you cannot understand. Bad turnovers, the plus-minus ratio, horrendous this season. That surprises me. This is not a characteristic of an Andy Reid coach football team. Mm-hmm. That I can understand. So, I mean, as you said, we can list 20, but you put me on the spot, and that's what I say.
How do you approach these last five games then? I mean, what do you do? What do you want to see observing this team as you do?
Because of the talent level, which is very high, I'd like to see if they actually win the turnover battle, and starting with Seattle in 2 days, will they win? And can they win? And then sticking with LeSean McCoy, who's now playing with a sprained toe, but he'll be able to play with it, getting him the football at the outset of the game and staying with it, you would think that they have a good chance to win on Thursday, pretty much every week. I don't understand against New England when you're up 10-0. I understand that New England's got a bad secondary. I get all that. But the numbers show when McCoy gets a certain amount of carries, they pretty much are going to win.
Do you know that he has the third most carries in the league?
I know, but what has happened?
But what's I am so sick of hearing the LeSean McCoy not getting
the
football.
No, but Dave.
And when he gets a lot of carries, when they're up 33-10.
Let me ask you a question.
The two games he's got a lot of carries. The Redskins, they had a 20-0 lead. The Cowboys, they had a huge lead. The Giants, he had 14 carries going
into
the fourth
quarter. What happened in the fourth quarter, right?
He had a run after the team won the game. Well, Dave, don't give me that. It's a dumb statement.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
It's dumb.
You're up 10-0, right?
Yeah. And they came right down the field. They went 3-and-out.
I understand.
They came right down the field and scored.
How many touches?
And they came right down the field and scored.
How many?
And they came right down the field and scored. They scored five straight times.
Let me ask you a question.
And let me tell you something. Yeah. LeSean McCoy had nowhere to go in that game because the Patriots, they said, we're going to take away LeSean McCoy.
As did the Giants. They took all the backside runs.
And we're going to let Vince Young beat us, and he didn't.
Let me ask you a question. Don't you have to find another way to get him the football?
Yeah, he caught a couple of passes. You got enough weapons here, Adam.
Well, Jeremy Maclin was not there.
LeSean McCoy also has the third most touches among running backs in the league.
DeSean Jackson drops two critical plays.
Okay.
Find another way to get somebody else the football. And Brent Celek, good to see him.
But they're really not going to score. Yeah. Listen, I think McCoy's a tremendous player. Yeah. And are there times when the Eagles could get him the football more? Sure. I would pretty much tell you that.
So what you want to do? You want to minimize the issues. The issues why the Eagles are not winning because it's not because of McCoy's.
Where I would like to see McCoy get the football more is in the red zone. I think if you didn't throw the ball so much in the red zone, you might not have as many interceptions.
I would agree with you. We were saying that during the game on Sunday afternoon. Why is he not getting the touches, you know, inside the five, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
But when you're inside the five and you throw a pass to DeSean Jackson that he doesn't catch, and then you roll right and throw a pass to Brent Celek and Clay Harbor standing
over totally
there.
You got to see the field better. That's on him. He's got to see the field clearly. He didn't see it. Vince Young, you can throw the numbers out. He didn't have a very good game.
I agree. I heard a guy on ESPN last night, ESPN radio, flipping around, and he goes in there, whatever, whoever the guy is. Vince Young did his job. Because all he did was look at the statistics and see that
he's a box score analyst is what he is. He doesn't actually watch football, whoever the guy was.
It nauseates me.
Yeah, I think Young, Dave, when you look at his performance in this game, I mean, uneven would be charitable. That pass downfield, first play to Riley Cooper was a beautiful play.
Beautiful throw.
Here's the problem with Vince Young, and if you've studied him throughout his career, you kind of understand this. Doesn't always step into his throws. Balls are short. They take too long to get there, and that gives the defense the ability to recover. And we saw that. You can't do that. He's got to step into his throws. I mean, you don't defenses know what's coming when he does that. So that's got to be better. He sees that film. He knows that. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you asked me, five more games?
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm not making any changes, to be honest with you. I believe that...
roster changes? You mean personnel changes?
Yeah, I mean, Dave, if you're going to blame, if you're going to start blaming guys who keep making mistakes, you're going to be benching 10 guys. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Do you want to see Curtis Marsh? Do you want to see Brandon Graham?
Not yet. First of all, technically, they're not officially eliminated, okay?
Understood.
Every time I'm asked this around the National Football League, you know, it's about playing the young quarterback or so on and so forth. You don't do it until you're officially eliminated. They're not yet. Now, when they are, we'll talk about it. When the time comes, if it does, which we expect, based on what we've seen, and you mentioned it, I find it, they haven't won more than two games in a row. I mean, that sums it up.
It feels, I tell you, Adam, sometimes I sit here and I think, when is the season starting? You know, when, I'm like, this is,
this
I,
is it's right.
Like, I what's don't, going on? This is like an alternate universe kind of team.
It's that Giants performance when you go, why can't they bottle the great performance on the road against the Giants? How do you explain this?
Well,
and you know, people are on Juan Castillo. I get that. I don't, you know, rightfully so. But how does he put a great game plan together and executed by the players against Dallas, about as good as you could play against Dallas's offense? No pass rush against Chicago. John Skelton in the fourth quarter.
The one criticism I have of the whole defense, you know, just in general, it's not as aggressive as I thought it would.
I would absolutely agree with you.
It's a lot of four-man rushes and not a lot of blitzes.
Here's how I sum it up. When things aren't working right, what are you doing to correct it in-game? The players have said after the, you know, especially after the Chicago game where they didn't get the color, hey, we rush with four. You'd like to see some things done differently, but this has been the microcosm of the whole season. What we expected didn't happen, and every time you think you understand this football team, something else happens. And that plays to what you're saying, and why they haven't won more than two games in a row, why they've had a four-game losing streak. You just don't know what to expect. This is a week-to-week team. I've said it the entire season. Nothing that has happened has changed my mind.
Yeah. Adam, who wins on Thursday night?
I'm going to pick... See, I was right. The Costanza theory actually did not work. I think the Eagles will work. Eagles win. You know why? You know why they're going to beat Seattle?
Because Seattle
the Eagles have lost
eight
out of nine at home.
Yeah,
it's almost like they're waiting for the crowd to lift them up. They play very well when everything's against them on the road, when no one expects them to win. Boy, they really fly to the football. They seem to play well. And at Quest, as you know, you've been there before.
Yeah, loud place. I think Thursday night football in Seattle means something to them. Even though they're 4-7 team and they're
national TV,
yeah, I think the Seattle fans—it's a special event.
They'll get them jacked up. And Seattle—they are very competitive. They're very fast on defense. The tallest cornerback tandem of the National Football League. Chris Clemens, who the Eagles fans know very, very well.
Why is Chris Clemens a star there and not here?
You know what?
Or is he just a sack guy there?
He's very fast, as you know. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to run at him. There's no question about it. But they're very fast. Red Bryan, who's really a defensive tackle, is playing DN over 300 pounds. Their linebacker core is very smart. They're efficient. Their secondary is kind of overachieved. Earl Thomas, I know a lot of Eagles fans wanted. He's having a very good year. Cam Chancellor's coming on. He's a big safety. I'll tell you what, they're a very good defense. Now, Rex Grossman played pretty well against them last week. That surprised me, and they made some plays against that secondary. But
were they home last week, or were they in Washington last week?
That game was at Seattle. Yeah, that stunned
me. What an
advantage
for them.
I know. I mean, and this is a tough week.
What a schedule advantage for them.
I got to tell you, though, I want the Eagle players, I mean, fans could say whatever they want. They are behind Andy Reid, I'm telling you, just from kind of knowing what's going on there. Andy has not lost his team. I've been asked that on Twitter. To be honest, it's tough. I mean, I'm getting...
You have Twitter?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The reason why I'm bringing up, fans are all... I mean,
Where can fans find you on Twitter?
Kaplan NFL. I mean, every other question.
I didn't know that.
If it's not about Seinfeld or what's going on around the National Football League, I get fans from all across the league, but now the Eagle fans are all across the country coming out. It's telling you, the players, this is unique. I have, even with the team going down the tube, so to speak, or underachieving, players are behind Reid. I'm not saying I'm surprised. It's just, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
So who wins the game?
I'm picking Seattle, man.
Okay.
I'm picking the Eagles. I'm sorry. No, I'm picking the Eagles. Low scoring game. I think Tavares Jackson hasn't thrown a lot of touchdowns the last like six games. I'm going to pick the Eagles here. 17-13.
Okay. Adam Kaplan, we'll see you on the kickoff show.
I will, yes.
We'll be here all the way through the night.
Looking
with Chris
forward
Mack
to
on Thursday. We thank you for your help on that.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Put everything that happened yesterday behind you, all right?
It's a new week, man. Moving on.
How tough is it to prepare with just four days between games and having to go out to the West Coast?
really, it's kind of one of my first times of, you know, experiencing something like this. So, you know, I'll just take it on the run. You know, every day we're just coming to work. We leave Wednesday, so it's a quick week. But now we just got to be ready for it.
What's the morale like? I mean, you guys probably have to win out just to give yourselves a chance to make the playoffs. Is everybody in here on that page that they can do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a team, we're all focused on what we need to do. Just go out there, we have 5 games left, and give it our best effort. Regardless of our record or anything, just every week, just go out there and just play hard. So, I mean, that's our mindset.
Do you think it kind of helps that you have a short week this week to kind of forget about what happened yesterday's game?
That's the next game of us Thursday, so that's all we're worried about. We're not worried about anything else. We're moving forward, and we're just going to go out there and try to win the game.
Outsiders may look and see that when two coaches squabble on the sideline during a game, that's a sign of dysfunction or bursting at the seams for the team. Can you understand that sentiment?
I don't know. I don't get caught up with it. I don't know what happened, so I don't know.
Sean, did you get any explanation as to why you didn't play the last couple of series?
Mm-mm.
You want one?
No.
After all you've been through this year, do you still want to play here next year?
Yes, sir. That's where I'm at. You know, that's what I love to do, is play football, regardless of, you know, what the case may be. That's what I love to do, is play football. So, you know, whatever works out.
Did you guys do a lot of film? Did you guys do any film review from the game? Or were you guys straight onto?
Yeah, we watched it. We watched a little bit of the film. You know, best passes. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. We're moving forward. We got Seattle, and that's what we're focused on.
You talk about working with Vince. If once again he's going to be the starter, especially coming off the short week, mm-hmm. How you guys can keep developing the chemistry and developing the rapport.
I mean, every game we have together, I mean, it just betters off timing and, you know, route running and things like that. So within the offense and the scheme. It just gives us a little more time for him to get acclimated and be comfortable. So, you know, hopefully it'll show off, you know, on Thursdays.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
And we are back. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's get caught up with some of the headlines from today. Injury updates. Still some unknowns for sure. As you see, Michael Vick making game progress. I just don't expect him to play. He will throw today. Will not practice, however, and so don't expect to see him, and don't expect to see Nnamdi either. I mean, I'm sorry, not Nnamdi, Jeremy Maclin. Nnamdi, I think, will play. Limited in practice, along with LeSean McCoy. Hey, by the way, guys, we need you, and this is the weekend. Coming up, 4th Annual Philadelphia Eagles Blood Drive, Saturday, December 3rd. Lincoln Financial Field, SCA Club Level. All presenting blood donors will receive special event Eagles fleece blanket. 6 lucky donors randomly selected to win a pair of AAA Fan Zone party tickets to the 2012 season home opener. Give us a call or register online now. We need you. Your neighbors need you. This is historically the lowest supplies of blood around the holidays. We need you to be part of this. We've had a great response so far. Let's keep it going. Eagles fans, be extraordinary, please. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to, who are we going to? Peter in Oakland. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, my friend?
Doing well. Regardless of the record here, I'm the diehard Eagles fan on the West Coast.
Yes, you are.
40 years and strong. My kids love the team. And, you know, I remember those lean years, and I'm just happy to be competitive. I'm not happy with the record. But, Dave, the reason I'm calling is I wanted to ask you something. In your experience in the last 10 years, you know, when we used to hear the callers in the first few years of the Reed era, we hear a lot from the organization and from yourself about how, you know, there's a West Coast system. There's a playbook that needs to be understood, that you need to sit people a couple of years to understand, to fully grasp what's going on with the complexities of the system. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that in the last few years. What you're hearing now is getting the draft picks coming right in, throwing them right in the fire, and there is no patience anymore. There is no talk about sitting a player, about developing them, about understanding the system. What's your take on that?
Well, with this offense, for you, the most of the key components have been here. You've had your skill position people specifically. Your wide receivers have been here. Your running back has been here. Michael Vick is ingrained in the system. Now, the offensive line, some of these young players, it's, you know, taking them, Danny Watkins, taking them a while to get used to understanding what Howard Mudd wants, same with Jason Kelce and so forth. But when you have new players, yeah, it takes time to to learn the scheme. I don't think Vince Young is completely, ingrained in the system. I don't think they have unleashed the entire playbook at Vince Young.
But we bring in the Riley Coopers and the Steve Smiths. We expect them to go out there and make Cooper, plays away in the first year.
Yeah, Riley Cooper. But Riley Cooper was here last year.
True.
You know, but now Steve Smith hasn't been. So Steve has been in the league a lot, and there are some familiarities from one system to the next.
And my other question was about on off days. You hear about quarterbacks across the NFL, whether it's Eli or Drew, on their off days working with their receivers. Do we have any of that in Philadelphia? Do you see Vic and Vic Vince or anybody out Vic there is, on their free time working with the receivers?
Yes.
That's great to hear. We don't hear that enough, I think, from the organization or from yourself, or enough to see that in their free time that they're doing those extra things that that we point to other teams to think they make a huge difference.
Yeah. No, they. Michael's here every day, and there are receivers here every day, and I mean they were all on the same page at times early this season. But boy, the point production has been disappointing, largely attributed to the fact that they just don't take care of the football in the red zone. And that's been the big problem. Hey, do you have a prediction for the game?
Yeah, we're going to win 27-13. And looking forward to coming out to Philadelphia for the Jets game, flying out from the West Coast, and looking forward to coming to Philadelphia to cheer the Eagles on. And I'll see you there until the last second that clock ticks off.
You got it, man. Thank you. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for all your work.
You got it. Thanks for the phone call. Nice positive phone call there. Thanks to Peter from Oakland. Oakland, California. I don't think anybody's happy with just being competitive. We all want to win the Super Bowl. Eagles will get it going. It's weird being here on a Tuesday with a Friday schedule, knowing that you're going to play in 48 hours, 56 hours. In 56 hours, the Eagles play a football game, which I don't mind, but I feel like it's strange. It's taxing to not have any downtime. Chris in Virginia. Hey, Chris.
Dave, I'm with you. It's not so much the number of runs, it's just when we're running, and especially in the red zone.
Yeah. If you're turning the football over repeatedly, throwing the football in the red zone, you kind of have to change up your philosophy a little bit. Now, you better have confidence in the run game. You know, you've got an offensive line that's come together pretty nicely, and you've got the best running back in the league. So you'd think the Eagles would be able to run the football very effectively in the red zone. And they have at times, but they've turned the ball over just an exorbitant number of times inside opponents' 20-yard lines.
I mean, this game, you know, first and goal from a 5-yard line, we threw it three straight times. I mean, I understand certain guys are open, but I mean, I just don't understand. Except we have the best back in the league.
Give a kid who's got 12 touchdown rushes, a shot.
Makes no sense at all.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that criticism at all. But I do have a problem with, and I understand that they go away from the run at times. I do. But it's like the way people carry on about it. My gosh.
Yeah, he's always third in the league in carries. I mean, that shows itself that he is actually getting the ball.
Yep. So how are you feeling about the rest of this season?
I don't know, Dave. I mean, crazy stuff has happened in the past. I mean, the only up to this, Dave, after this week, if we somehow lose this week, we're definitely done. I mean, we're pretty much done. We need a lot of help. I mean, the only lucky thing is, I mean, the Cowboys can still lose to the Giants twice, still lose to us, and still lose to the Browns.
Is it possible that nobody wins the NFC East? Can they just not have an NFC East champion?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's how bad this division is. I mean, the Giants could still lose to the Jets and Green Bay this week. I mean, you never know.
I'm with you, my man.
I want to see who wants to be on this team, Dave. That's what I really want to see.
But I agree with you on that, and I've written about that, but I will also tell you that 11 games in, you should have a pretty good idea who's going to be there mentally and focus-wise and physically. But I do. I want to see this team in an adverse situation with a 4-7 record getting in an airplane, traveling 6 hours. And, usually on the West Coast, we go out 2 days before. This time, because of the week, 2 days before means you have no practice time at all. Going out the day before the game, and it's a 5 o'clock game out there. I mean, there's very little turnaround. So the Eagles have to be ready to go.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that it's a 5 o'clock game being out on the West Coast.
Yep. Yes.
Let me give you a prediction here, Dave. Let's go 28-21 Birds, and let's try and get this thing going. And hopefully, you never know, a miracle might happen.
You never know. I mean, look, what was it, 2008?
Eagles. We were 5-5-1. Even
and the last day of the season, right? The last day of the season, what had to happen? The Bears had to lose. Tampa Bay had to beat Oakland, or no?
Yeah, Michael Bush ran for like 80.
Lose to Oakland, right? Right. Eagles get in the playoffs, and away we go to the NFC Championship game. So
yeah, I mean, also, Dave, 2006, we were 5-6 and ran off 5 straight with Jeff Garcia. So
right.
Crazier things have happened.
Right. The problem is that now you've got to rely on other teams losing, which is scary.
Which I hate to do.
Yeah. Hey, Chris,
thank you.
All right, man.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Let's go in the locker room from yesterday. Who do we have, Ryan? Let's go into let's talk to Jason Kelce. Good player. Becoming a leader. I think he's going to be a real good, solid center in this league for a long time. Jason Kelce addresses, well, coming off a tough loss to New England, turning around very quickly and getting ready for Seattle.
Your emotions were high for everybody. I think everybody was a little upset. I know I was very upset out there on the field. So, I think you can get a little agitated. You can lose your composure in situations like that.
Could you understand if a fan or someone from the public outside could look at that as kind of a bursting at the seam type moment or unraveling for the team in general?
I guess you can look at it however you want. It's tough for me to say. I mean, I think that stuff, I don't think so, no. I don't know how to say it.
Do you feel like it's behind both guys? I mean,
Oh, yeah, no. They're professionals. They've been in the coaching industry for a long time, and I guarantee this is not the first squabble they've been in with another coach on the team, and I think that they've already made amends.
How much does it help the fact that, I'm sorry if you've been asked already, that the fact that games on Thursday, just played last night, how much does it help you guys in terms of moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it helps us get over the loss that much quicker because we have to. And, whenever you're on a short week, you're battling two things. It's mental preparation and you're battling physically getting over the game that you just got done playing. Those are the two things that we're trying to take care of.
What do you think these last five games will show about this team?
These last five games, I mean, it'll show the character. I mean, whenever you're facing adversity, whenever you're put in a situation where, it's tough. You don't know what the outcome is going to be for the rest of the year and everything else. I think true character comes out. I mean, everybody can play when you're up and when things are going well, but when you're backed into a corner, when you're down, that's when true character shows.
Thanks.
Yep.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Paul, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. Listen, we are live tonight. It's Eagles Nightly at 7 o'clock. We're going to update all the injury situation for you. And then tomorrow, well, it's kind of the day before, so no live shows. But we are live again on Thursday with the kickoff show hosted by Chris McPherson and Adam Kaplan. That starts at 8 o'clock. And then we're live throughout the game with updates. And then we've got the live halftime show, our kickoff, or rather our halftime report, post-game report, post-game show brought to you by, presented by Rico, is also on the docket with Chris and Adam. So make sure you're with us throughout the day. On Thursday, Eagles getting ready for Seattle, and here you go. Michael Vick, doesn't sound like he's going to play. Jeremy Maclin, same thing. I think McCoy and Nnamdi will suit up. Robert in Philadelphia joins us. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me good?
I can hear you fine, Robert.
Okay, good. Look, Philadelphia needs this one to lay low. Because you know why? I look at the big picture. We have a very, very good team. You're going to see that now. We also have a lot of egos right now. So when they play, when they start playing together, this is my prediction. This year, I think we're going to need too much. But if we get to the playoffs, we will turn things around to our favor. Next year, I'm telling you, we're going to the Super Bowl. I watch the team. I watch what everything we've done. Michael Vick just signed his tight end after a while. And the coaches and everything like that, they're doing what they have to do now. Because another thing I'm going to put all in there real quick.
Okay.
Jackson.
Yes.
Pay that man. Stop messing with his money. Because therefore, I don't want to see anybody else get that man. Because if somebody pick him up, oh, my God, look, Tom Brady. Is he ever a receiver like that? Mm-hmm. Now, here it is. Put it up. Listen, you got a dynasty. I predict, this is my prediction.
Okay.
I say once they get themselves together, which will be next year, they can win 4 Super Bowls. Hear me? Back by back. We have the team. We got everything. We don't need nobody else. We just got to settle down. And if they're screwing up, so what? They don't know each other right now. I saw the team. I saw what they did the other night. I was upset. But I'm looking at it like this here. We're like a bunch of little kids right now messing around trying to find each other. Next year, my God, we're going to tear things up. Everybody else in the league knows that. You feel what I'm saying?
I think you're aiming for my job, Robert. I think you are aiming for my job. We're going to bottle up all your positive energy, Robert. We'll bottle all that positive energy up and take it to the team.
I'm sorry.
I love it.
I'll tell you right now, I know, I've been trying to call you for 3 days, actually 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get it into you. And you need to tell the people, including the management.
Okay.
The management, tell them to actually chill out. Pay Jackson.
Okay.
Get them his money.
Okay, pay Jackson.
It's a foreign place. I swear to God, it's a foreign place.
You got it. Hey Robert, I hesitate to ask you this because I'm so excited now, but give me a prediction on the score. For the game.
I'm sorry, man.
No, I love
I'm sorry.
Believe me, we need more callers like you. Come up to training camp. We can make you a star. We'll put you right next to Tatman. Give me a prediction for the score. Hello?
They say what?
Give me a prediction for the game, Robert. Thursday night, Eagles play?
There you go. You got it.
All right.
I got your back.
Yeah. All right, give me a prediction for the game, Robert.
Can I hear what?
Can I hear a score for the game on Thursday night?
Say that one more time.
I need you to give me a prediction for Thursday night's game against Seattle. What do you believe the score of the game will be?
Okay, let me see. Vince Young is playing?
Yes, he is. I think so, yes.
He is? Okay, I'll tell you this here. And the way I look at it, I said 27-14 our way.
27-14. Now, you do know that if that is the score and you win, you get a fabulous piece of autographed merchandise.
Okay, Amen. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate your phone call.
Hey, I'm just telling you what's going to happen. We're going to win 4 Super Bowls in a row. I'm telling you. If everybody's going to be healthy next year when they go to the camp, mini camp, everything like that, my God, I'm telling you, man, we're going to be so daggone happy. We're going to blow our minds out. Put it up, don't care. To play
if we win 4 Super Bowls in a row, I will blow my mind out.
That's it, 27-14 our way.
All right, my man. Thank you. Robert, thank you so much.
You got my telephone number, right?
Oh, we got you. We got your you have to call me. I can't do that. That's like some sort of a legal thing. I don't want to get your phone number, okay. Robert, because you know, I don't want to get prank calls and stuff. And just call me back. When the score's 27-14, call me on Friday.
You got it.
We are on the road to 4, not 1, not 2, not 3 in a row, Robert. 4 Super Bowls in a row. I want one for this finger, this finger, this finger, this finger. Maybe a little ring in my nose. Whatever that guy has going on in his life, I want some of it, and I want some of it right now. 215-339-6709. Whew! Okay. We got from Merrill over here going, this team's Adam Kaplan, Seattle's going to win to 4 Super Bowls in a row. Robert, I just want it in between somewhere. I just want one. How about 1 Super Bowl in a row? Because I'll be dancing in the streets, baby. 215-339-6709. We go from that to this. Ace in D.C. Ace?
Hey, Dave.
How are you, Ace?
Can you hear me, Dave?
Vaguely.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to miss a word.
Say it again?
I don't want to miss a word of what you're saying, Ace.
Okay, listen to this, man. First of all, my man before me, wow. That's best of the week right there. I needed that to make me smile.
That's right.
I love the LeBron James prediction on us. You know, that really just jinxed us, but it's all good.
Yeah.
But check this out, Dave, man. Yeah. I just want to give you some real talk, man, some plans that I got for the Eagles, man, and just tell me if you agree with them or not.
Okay.
All right, man. I know you ain't want to hear this, man.
No, I don't.
All right.
Nobody does, Ace. Trust me.
For real, though, Dave. Okay. I'm turning the page just like you, right? And okay. I'm looking at it like this. I say I want to keep my head coach. I'm just going to put that out there right there.
Okay. We agree on that. All right.
Oh, yeah. Ace in D.C. wants to keep the coach.
Headlines.
But I really think I don't think he should come with the staff. That's number one. And we ain't got to go into that.
Yeah, let's be fairly brief. Okay.
So, say it again, Dave.
Let's make a long story relatively short.
I mean, because, you know, we talk about that on the regular, Dave. You know how I feel about Marty. You know how I feel about this coaching staff, and I don't think it's working.
Okay.
All right? But I do think that they are putting Andy in a bad spot. So I ain't going to just kill the coach. You know, it's easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is, man, I think we need to do something totally different in this draft. And I know that nobody want to talk about draft, but we got to talk about draft. I don't think we should start Michael Vick. I think if we lose this game Thursday, I think every young player that we're trying to see should start the game. I shouldn't see no starters out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I'm feeling right now, because I think it's about done, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you think?
Well, I don't totally agree with that. I think you still want to put out the best product you can put out. I'd like to – look, I mean, I would like to see – Brandon Graham playing, but clearly, because let's be honest, Jaquay Parker's not productive. Daryl Tapp has been okay, not great. Even Trent's numbers are down a bit. So, but clearly, Brandon Graham has not earned it. If he doesn't earn Jaquay and Jared, I would look, the safety play has been so up and down. Jaquan has just not earned the time. I want players to earn it on the practice field. You know? So, I mean, I'm mixed. I'm not sure what I want with that. I'm not sure what I want with that.
See, in a way, it's kind of, look, man, Dave, ain't nobody on this team earned that. All right? And see, I think that's the problem here, man. We had too many free shots, man. That's why I say I think the, if a coach come in here, you can't wait till next year. You almost got to bring him in right now so he can see what he's working with.
It doesn't work that way because when you bring in new coaches, Ace, you are bringing in a new system. And you're not going to teach a system in 5 weeks. All right? Here's my philosophy in football, NFL football. Every player in this league is a great football player. And the ones who become better, the ones who win, you get coached up well, you're in a great system, and you maximize what you can do. And you are truly put in the best position to make plays. And when a player does not, generally, when a player does not maximize his talents, it's because he's asked to do things that his skill set does not allow him to do effectively. That's my philosophy.
I got to completely disagree with you because Dallas did it. You
can't Dallas say did what?
It hasn't happened.
Wait, what did Dallas do? What did Dallas do?
Dave, our number one problem is we have
Dallas did what? They came in last year. They fired their coach.
They fired their coach during the season.
I think it actually
worked out. As much as I hate Dallas, man, I'm going to put that
they
out there.
They suck.
It worked out better.
Why? Because they're 7-4? Because they're 7-4?
No, because he actually saw he didn't have to see his team during the offseason against his bums in practice. He saw them in action for the last four games, and he took that into the offseason. And that's why their team is
if you want to keep Andy Reid as head coach, then you're talking about, I mean, he sees these kids every day in practice. He'll see them in the off season all year next year. He'll see them in training camp. He'll know what they are.
Well, guess what, Dave? Now, guess what? That brings us to this problem. You almost got to fire him.
You just said you wanted to keep him.
Say that again?
You just said keep Andy Reid. Now you're saying fire.
See, as much as that, look, Dave, I would love to keep him. But see, it's like, this is what we do all the time. The Eagles, we stay backing ourselves in the corner. It's like our quarterback situation, like I told you the other day. This is the bed that we made right here.
Yeah.
So if we can't fix the coordinators, you got to bring in a coach. And I love him. But
well, I'm not saying
the business part.
I'm not saying there's – I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. There are going to be – if this team does not somehow get into the playoffs and, you know, win big, then there's going to be significant changes.
But
the season is not over yet. Yes.
If they went to the playoffs, okay. Come on, let's be realistic as human beings, man. We would lose in the first round.
How would you? But Ace, I'm with your predictions here, but I will say this. Anybody who says that you know that, who cares about going to the playoffs because you know what's going to happen, you're full of CRAP. Capital CRAP. Okay?
Dave,
you are. Don't tell me the Steelers. Don't tell me the Steelers a couple of years ago at this point in the season, everybody's going, oh, babe.
Dave, we're not built
the Packers
like that.
Last
Dave,
year.
I just wish some of our fans would come to the realization that we are not that kind of team that everybody keeps speaking of. We don't have those kind of
players. I'm with you. This is a 4-7 team. I've been saying it. They're not. They're what they are. They are what they are. They're 4-7. Give me a prediction, Noah. I'm going to get some more calls.
We got
plenty of time to talk about it, man. We got a whole,
I got
whole five
you,
weeks.
I got you. Give me 20. You know this. I hate this, man. Give me 14-10 Eagles. That's
wow.
They got Marshawn Lynch. This is going to be the heaviest running dose we get all year.
Marshawn Lynch. Okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I call you tomorrow, Dave, but just think about what I said, man. And I love Andy, but I think we backed in a corner where we almost have to get rid of him. No choice.
Well, you just said you want to keep him.
Hey, I want to keep him, Dave. But if you keep him,
okay,
it is no coordinators on this planet that is watching the Eagles right now going to agree with what's going on. So all we're going to have is the same situation once again next year. That's
you're saying that if Andy Reid stays and they change the coordinators, that good coaches wouldn't want to come here? Are you out of your mind?
Dave, I don't think that they can't be in cahoots with Andy.
Why would you want to be in a
friends of Andy?
Sure they can. Coaches are friends. Every coach in the league is friends. Ace, go to the Senior Bowl and look at the fraternity down there.
I understand everything you're saying, Dave, but it's time for a change over here, man. It's not working. I mean, Philadelphia, I live in Washington, D.C., Dave. I listen to WIP and all other Philadelphia states. This is the same thing I hear every year. So, in other words, like I say, after a while, it's not on the players. It's on the organization. If the leaders and the owners and the bosses of this organization is not taking, and I'm not saying they got to listen to the fans, but I'm saying if they're not taking heed to what's going on, and I watched my man Joe drop in that seat during that game. If we don't see nothing different, man, then, you know.
Oh, there's no question. Hey, thanks for the call. Listen, I am at 4-7. I'm not going to sit here and say everything's fine. Everybody acknowledges this is not the way we wanted the season to go. So, what do we have from the locker room? Let's go to Jamar Chaney in the locker room. Eagles middle linebacker. Going to see a lot of Marshawn Lynch on Thursday night.
It didn't go the way everyone wanted. Back in practice yesterday and then flying out tomorrow and trying to play another game Thursday.
Anytime you have a short week, it's kind of hard on your body just because, you know, you're used to getting those days off before you get back on the field. So we ain't had those days off. So that's part of the hardest thing. And another hard thing is making sure we got that loss out of our mind, you know, when we go down to Seattle. It's a disappointing loss for us as a team because, you know, we prepared, you know, pretty much the whole season. We're very confident going into that game. So, but we just got to forget about it because we got a game with less than 2 days. So we got to forget about it and get ready for Seattle.
When did the film show you guys from Sunday?
If we watched it, you had to watch it on your own. They didn't show the film.
Okay.
Like they usually do, because, I mean, it's
just time-wise.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that tough to feel like you don't have as good a feel for the opponent?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you do a good job. You know what the situation is. So we came over here Monday today, and then you got to do a lot of stuff on your own, too. And got a long flight to Seattle, so, I mean, pretty much everybody here got laptops and whatnot, so you can use that time as well, you know, to get to know them a little better.
Andy Reid has always preached to his players, don't give the other team any more logs to put on the fire. But when Trevor Law says if we play our game, we should beat the Seahawks easily. What do you guys think about that?
No, I ain't hear that. I mean, they're a pretty good team. I mean, they beat the Giants, they beat the Ravens, so, I mean, and they play real good at home. And I haven't never played it. They say it's one of the loudest stadiums, you know, you can play in. So they're going to be pretty excited. I mean, especially if they hit that, they're going to be really excited to get out on the field. But like I said, we go out there and play our game. We don't pretty much think nobody can beat us, but we just ain't playing it like we ain't been playing like we're supposed to play. We know that. So, I mean, we got to go out here and just make sure we take care of business. We ain't going to give up. Ain't nobody on this team even thinking like that. So we just got to go out there and take care of business Thursday night.
How frustrating is it that it seems like after this team's best wins, like Dallas, the Giants, they're followed by, bad losses. It's like the inconsistency and not being able to sustain. Because there's some games you guys have played so well and just not being able to keep it going for 3-4 weeks. Is that the most kind of frustrating thing?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. I don't think you can listen to what people say. I mean, you know, we started off wrong and then, you know, we come back, you know, beat Washington, beat, you know, Dallas, and then everybody back up on us now, you know. So you got to keep that mindset that, you know, that we still, you know, after the Giants game, we were still 4-6. You got to keep that mindset. We still 4-6, and you know, it was a good win, but still, I mean, your record don't make it. the way we play don't look like our don't reflect our record. So, you know, we got to have that kind of attitude going into the game. Even if we win this week, I mean, we still going to have a losing record. So we just got to keep going out there every week and just continue to get better and just keep fighting.
Is that a tough pill to swallow when you stand there and talk about we're losers more than we're winners at this stage of a season when there were so many high expectations on this team?
Yeah, I mean, you ask anybody around here. Nobody around here thought it was going to be the record we is now. But, I mean, it is what it is. We just got to, take it one game at a time and make sure we finish the season strong. And, I mean, anything can happen. You never know what can happen. So we just got to make sure we handle our part.
What do you think we'll all learn about this team these next 5 weeks? As far as what will these weeks show about this team? Be put in this position and having to kind of things not going the way you wanted.
We're going to go out there and play hard regardless of what the situation is. We're going to play hard. This is something everybody in here dream of playing. I mean, we all blessed to be here playing in this position, so I don't think none of my teammates going to go out there taking it for granted and just going out there going through the motions. Everybody going out there to play hard. I mean, you don't want to put bad film on tape anyway, so, you're going to go out there and you're going to play your hardest. You're going to give it – these last couple of games, we're going to give it our all, so I'm not worried about a letdown or nothing like that.
Are you confident all your teammates feel the same way?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
It certainly is a big challenge for the Eagles' run defense. Now, you would expect this to be an aggressive group going into this game. Tavares Jackson's not – if you make him throw the football into tight windows, you kind of feel good about where you are defensively. Sidney Rice not going to play with that concussion. You're going to see a lot of run, and Jamar Chaney's going to have to play a really good football game. Let's go out to Las Vegas and talk to Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
How you doing? Can you hear me, Dave?
I'm sorry. Did you ask me how I'm doing?
Bad question.
You want to start the conversation over?
Can you hear me, Dave?
Jordan, I can hear you fine. How are you, pal?
Just hanging in there. I'm pretty looking forward to this week. A short one, I guess,
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into football, right.
But I just wanted to make a few comments. I think watching, the games like I do every week, I want to say one of our awesome free agents that I'm most impressed of is Jason Babin. I think, with him and Trent Cole on the outside, I think one of the best tandems for defensive end in the league.
I think Jason's a good football player, and I worry that he gets typecast as this wide nine. I think he could play in any scheme. I think he's aggressive and a good player. I do worry about the run defense. I think teams just carry him up the field and then run through that hole. But I think Jason Babin's provided a really good burst off the edge, the left side of this defense.
Yeah, make a good point because he's always just, straight towards the quarterback and he runs up the field a little too much at times.
Yeah.
But, his motor is always going. He can't say nothing about his work ethic. He's 100% every down.
I'm with you, man.
Get a prediction out there. Then,
yeah, please.
I think it's going to be a real shaky one if the Eagles show up like they did last time.